reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us. And if you want to join in the conversation, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And I think we're going to go ahead and jump in with a word of prayer here first, and then talk about a few things. And then, of course, if you've got a call, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Well, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air this evening. Do pray that you would bless the program tonight. Use it for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing, encouragement to believers tonight. Help us to point people to Christ. And we just thank you again for the opportunity you've given us. And help us to lift up and glorify Christ through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you tonight. And boy, is it warm here in northeastern Ohio today. I think at our house we got up to, I think it was, 84 degrees, I think, in our house today, which for the last day of April here in northeastern Ohio is pretty good. And I got something playing there. I don't know what that was coming up. But any rate, but it was pretty good. Now, I guess tomorrow's supposed to be a little bit cooler and getting down to some cooler temperatures. And a lot of people don't realize when they talk about average temperature, you know, average temperatures are just that, average. You know, average temperature of 50 degrees could mean that it was 60 today and 40 yesterday. That average temperature would be 50 degrees. Or it could have been 100 today and zero yesterday. The average is still 50. So it's somewhat deceiving. But at the same time, it was a little bit warmer than what it would typically be this time of year here in northeastern Ohio. So, but it's been kind of a nice spring. Hopefully where you're at, you've been enjoying the springtime. Of course, further south, you're a little bit further along. And I was glad that about 2 weeks ago, I think I got some potatoes planted, and it's nice to see them coming up. And then over Arbor Day here where I live, the town Richfield provided some free trees. And I learned in past Arbor Days that if you wanted the free trees, you had to get there early. So I made sure I got there early. And that past week, I was out trying to plant some of these trees and things. And it's kind of nice. They seem to be rooting and seem to be doing well. And so that's a nice time of year. It's nice to be able to get out and enjoy the weather, especially here in the northern parts of the country where, you know, in the wintertime it gets a little cold, a little hard to get out and do things. But it's kind of nice to be able to open the windows up, that fresh air blowing through, and just it makes it nice. Well, I want to mention again our website and our Facebook page. You can contact us at, or find us, I should say, online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can go on Facebook. And on Facebook, you can find us, Facebook, Live with Pastor Al. Just search for us there, Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, and you'll find us there. You can follow us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, whatever, and you can keep track of some of the things that we have there. And I try to put a number of things on there. I've got, I was going to mention, we have a couple of things on there. I had opportunity this past week to meet Robert Spencer. If you're familiar with Jihad Watch and some of the materials that they put out, and of course Robert Spencer's the brains behind that, and had a chance to meet him, and so I got a picture of him and I there on our Facebook page, but also a couple different things, and here's the one I was looking for, Charmaine Yost, formerly president of Americans United for Life. just recently appointed by President Trump as the Assistant Secretary of Public Affairs at the Department of Health and Human Services. And these are some of the reasons why I voted for Trump, is because I wanted to see people like this being put in charge of these various bureaucratic organizations, and certainly, of course, Justice Gorsuch at the Supreme Court, another one of the big reasons why I voted for Trump. Thinking about that yesterday, being his 100 days in office, and those are a couple of things that I think he's done that have been important things, and Gorsuch probably stand out as one of the greatest things that he's accomplished that'll have repercussions for years to come, hopefully in a positive sense. And rumor has it that possibly as early as June, Justice Kennedy may retire, and Justice Gorsuch restores the balance on the court that was there until Justice Scalia suddenly, unexpectedly passed away. But a replacement for Justice Kennedy with a strong conservative, like maybe Judge Pryor, that's been talked about. He was one of the ones that they thought might get it instead of Gorsuch. But you see somebody like him come in, that would swing the court into a more conservative, constitutionalist, originalist, I should say, type of a court, which is what we want. We want people to believe that the Constitution says what it means and means what it says. This living document stuff is nonsense. That's by people that can't get what they want in the ballot box, so they get creative in the courts and legislate from the bench. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got Tom calling in this evening. And Tom, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello, Pastor. How you doing?
Hey, Tom. Good to hear from you. How are you?
Good, good. Excellent. Yeah, I was out there getting some yard work done this week until all that heavy rain hit. But
yeah. Well, I got my grass mowed earlier in the week. I knew the rain was coming, and it was already several inches beyond, I guess, where it needed to be, and I knew if I didn't get it cut before the rain came in, it would probably be knee-deep or more by the time I got into it. So,
oh, boy, yeah, you need a brush hog to cut it then.
No, if it got that way, I think I'd go get a goat. But
I remember the tractors in Richfield. They used to have the hammer knife mowers and the brush hogs. And
oh, yeah, yeah. Well, we had the one that had the little sickle bar that went down, you know, and it make that little sound and cut the hay down with that.
Yeah, for cutting field grass, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And, of course, we had goats, so
yeah.
That was always pretty good, too.
Well, that's nature's helper. But anyway, I got a question for
you.
Yes,
sir.
And I don't have all the facts, so I'm just going to throw it out there and see what you've heard. I was listening to a preacher on the television. I'm not going to mention his name or anything, but he kind of interesting, and he was saying something about the NASA report.
About what report?
He was preaching on the NASA report. NASA come out with how the stars are going to be aligned right at the time of the trumpets in September.
Yeah, this is making the rounds, and I think if we're on the same wavelength here, they're saying that this ties in, let me see here, with Revelation chapter 12,
yeah,
I believe.
The possibility of either the rapture or something major aligning itself with Israel.
Yeah, and it is interesting, and but basically there's a thing in the constellations of Leo and Virgo.
Right.
And the relationship with the moon and the planet Saturn, which is the royal planet, and I think something else.
He was saying
Venus,
something about the 12 stars, which
yes.
He thinks could have something to do with the passage in Revelation about the woman with the 12 stars around
right,
her
right.
halo.
Yeah. And there's a number of things online. I've looked at some of that in the past. Actually, in within the last couple of months, I've looked at a couple of things, and I have some reservations about applying that to Revelation chapter 12, and I'll explain that in a minute. Although there are a lot of similarities there, and we do know from the book of Genesis chapter 1 that God put the stars and the sun and the moon and all that in the sky. He says not only to give light, but in Genesis 1:14, he said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days for years." And so we have this idea of signs and indicating that things are going to come to pass. And a real quick synopsis is in Revelation chapter 12, there's a wonder and that John sees in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And they're claiming that the woman that is there, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, is the constellation Virgo, and the 12 stars that are crowning her head, I think, is made up with some of the stars in the constellation Leo, along with some planets, I think Jupiter, but at any rate, I forget which ones, Venus, I think, maybe, and Mars or something, but whatever it is, I don't recall the exact planets. And according to NASA, there's a combination of these stars and planets and things in the sky that they've never known to have happened before. And the first time that they know of, it's happening this year in September of this year. And the royal planet Saturn is in the constellation Virgo right now. And this part, what we're talking about right now, so far as I've been able to see from the things that I've read, is actually factual. It's been there since about January is when Saturn entered into Virgo. And of course, the other name for Virgo is the Virgin. And in September, 9 months later, Saturn is going to exit Virgo towards her feet.
Well, that's the beginning of the Jewish New Year, though, too.
And I'm going to come to that in just a moment. And so a lot of people are saying that maybe we're seeing played out in the stars the events in Revelation chapter 12. Now, the problem with that, and this is something, I don't know if you've heard anything on this, or maybe somebody else listening has, as you look at this sign in the stars, in Revelation chapter 12, it says also in verse 3, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns and seven crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven to cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child as soon as it was born." And I'm not sure, because I don't think that Draco the dragon is right there before the feet of Virgo, ready to devour, positioned like he's ready to devour the child, which would be Saturn when it passes out of Virgo. And and I'm a little rusty on some of my positioning of some of these astronomical constellations, but I don't believe that that Draco's in the right way. That would be the dragon. So. Yeah. We have a problem that this portion doesn't seem to jive with what we're seeing in the sky, and also that it's very clear from the rest of the scripture that the child that she gives in verse 5 is a man-child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up into God, unto God and to his throne. And most of the things that I've seen talking about this say that the child represents the church or the believers, because they're caught up, in the rapture. Some of them have tried to say this shows that the rapture will take place at the midpoint of the tribulation. And
isn't that stretching things a bit, though?
Yeah, because the man-child here is clearly Jesus.
Right.
He's the one who is to rule all nations, not the church. Now, the Catholic Church would like that interpretation, because they do want to rule all nations, and have in the past tried to. So, again, it falls apart here. Now, I think what it does, though, is it does call attention, because the woman is a picture of Israel who pains to deliver a man-child which is Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who is the Savior, who is to rule all nations, and he has been caught up to unto God. We saw that in Acts chapter 2 after his resurrection. He ascended up from the Mount of Olives, and the angel said, hey, you know, to the disciples, well, you didn't stand around looking up. They, you know, they told him he's coming back the same way he left. So we're expecting him to come back. And then the woman flees into the wilderness, and this would be a picture of Israel during the tribulation, fleeing into the wilderness to a place prepared of God, where they're going to be fed there 1,203 score days, which is 3.5 years. That's the second half of the tribulation.
Is that where they flee to Petra?
Yeah, that's what I believe will probably be the place, Petra. The dragon then further on is described as being the devil and all that. And so, but that gives us the gist of what's there. So, but what is there does make people look at it and scratch their heads and wonder what's going on.
Look at the Magi. I mean, they followed the stars. So, I mean, I think it was more common in their day to, you know, they did read the stars.
Oh, yeah, and they understood that there were signs in the stars and all. So I think that the main purpose of any similarity between this and what we see playing out in the night sky right now is to get our attention that something's about to happen in the world, because we are in the latter days expecting the return the catching away of the believers first, then the revelation of the Antichrist and the tribulation period, and then of course the return, like Paul wrote to Timothy in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, where he said, looking for that blessed hope, then a comma, and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior. So the idea is the blessed hope is we're going to be caught out of here, and then return with the Lord in power and glory, and that's the way the Bible brings that out. But
they made a big fuss over the blood moons, but I really didn't see where all that much came out of it. Did you?
Well, but we're in that same time frame, where when you look at some of the things in the past where the blood moons took place, it wasn't that something happened every time immediately at the time of the blood moons, because, for instance, we had the blood moons in 67 and 68, okay?
Well, yeah, and that's what, well, 67 was when they took Jerusalem.
Yeah, that was the Six-Day War, and that was in June, so that was right in the... in the midst of this, you had the first blood moon was 24th of April 1967. The next one was the 18th of October. So the Six-Day War was in June of 67. Now
I know one thing. I'm all for the rapture, but you got to be careful about even trying to say, this could be it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because, Jesus said, no man knows. So.
Don't know the day nor the hour.
Right.
So let me go back to the blood moons in 48 and 40, or I'm sorry, 49 and 50. Now,
okay, I'm going to hang up. Good night, and I'll be listening.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about this a minute here, because I want to bring in a couple things that you said. Thanks for that call, Tom. May 1948 is when Israel was formed as a state, but the blood moon did not occur until the 13th of April 1949, first one, 7th of October 1949, then again the 2nd of April 1950, and then the 26th of September 1950. And just a reminder, what we're talking about, what makes these lunar eclipses different is in these cases, we have a series of four in a row, no partial eclipses between them, and no full eclipses between them, that happen on in two successive years. For instance, 13 April 49 on Passover, then on 7 October 49 on the Feast of Tabernacles, then again on 2nd of April 1950, Passover, and then again on the 26th of September on the Feast of, in 1950, on the Feast of Tabernacles. And this series of things took place, and it seems like there were some things of significance with the Jewish people that happened round about that time frame, not exactly during, because like I said, the 1967-68 series, Blood Moon Tetrad, the Six-Day War where they retook Jerusalem and the Temple Mount happened during the time of the Blood Moons. But in the 49-50 Blood Moon Tetrad, the State of Israel was declared just before it came, it began to happen. And so in some cases, there's been some events that took place just after that series. And we're right now just a little after, because we had the last Blood Moon Tetrad, which was the 15th of April, 2014, October 8, 2014, then the 4th of April, 2015, the 28th of April, 28th of September 2015, and now we're at least we're coming up on a year and a half beyond that. So I speculated at the time that we might possibly see some movement on the Temple Mount. But here's another thing that's rather interesting. In the Bible, we have the Jubilee years. Every 50 years, a Jubilee year. And land was supposed to go back to the right owners, the right families or tribes and things like that. And what's interesting is that in 1917, when the Balfour Declaration was issued, that called for the creation of a Jewish state, and it set aside the land in the Middle East, which includes present-day Israel, including the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, as well as all of what is Jordan today. That was declared in 2017, which was a Jubilee year. You go 50 years from 1917. You go 50 years from 1917, that brings you to 1967, and 1967 is when Jerusalem and the Temple Mount were returned back to the Jewish people. So in the Jubilee year of 1917, the Jews regained the right to go back into their land. In the next Jubilee year, which was 1967, the Jewish people regained Jerusalem and the Temple Mount. Now, they later allowed Jordan to control the Temple Mount and the Waqf Authority, a group to control the Temple Mount. But now that brings us to today. That's 50 years later. We're now in another Jubilee year, 2017, and this will be a Jubilee year. And so again, having seen some important things in the Jewish history of the last several Jubilee years, and the speculation then is that this year, in this Jubilee year, that Israel may perhaps begin rebuilding the temple on the Temple Mount. It may be that they take control of it and they begin rebuilding the temple. Now, I don't know that that's going to happen. I know that there are people who would like to do that. I know that people would have plans for doing that if they could, but that's coming up. Now, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, is September 21st. And what our caller Tom was speculating about, I know we just got a short time here, is the thought that perhaps the rapture could take place on the feast of Rosh Hashanah, because it's the only feast of the major seven feasts that we're talking about, Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits and all. When we get to Rosh Hashanah, it's the one where you don't know the day nor the hour when it takes place. You have to be watching and waiting to certify that it's the new moon, and then a series of trumpet blasts are sounded, and the last trump, the celebration begins. And so some people suggested that since Jesus fulfilled the spring feast in his first coming, that perhaps he'll fulfill the autumn feast in his second coming, starting with the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah, the new year, when the trumpets sound, and perhaps since that's the one you don't know the day nor the hour, which sounds an awful lot like what the Bible talks about, the day that he catches away believers, maybe that'll be the time. Is it? I don't know. I don't know the day nor the hour, but Rosh Hashanah can be spread across a couple days, but we do know the season. And Paul, writing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and chapter 5, tells us to be watching and waiting. We don't know the day nor the hour, but we do know the season, and we are in the season. There's a number of other things. Luke chapter 21, I think it is, Jesus talking about the parable of the fig trees. And when they begin to bloom, that generation would not pass until these things are fulfilled. And suggestion that the generation the Bible is talking about is the lifespan of people, which is 70 to 80 years. I know I'm throwing a lot of stuff out here quickly because I'm trying to get here before we hit our break. But for the first time since the flood, basically, since man's lifespan dropped dramatically after the flood, we've reached the first time where the average lifespan of human beings across the planet is about 70 to 80 years. We're it's kind of interesting, and we're also within 70 or 80 years of taking of the Temple Mount there in Jerusalem, the Six-Day War. We're coming up on that, or Israel, I should say, becoming a state, rather. And so we're in that ballpark, and some people believe that the flowering of, or the leafing out of the fig tree, budding of the fig tree, and I think Luke is the one that adds, and the other trees, we saw Lebanon, Syria, and other states right in that area become independent states in the same time frame, that people who saw that would be alive then. And that kind of puts us in a window that a lot of people are thinking, we're in the season. I don't know that it's going to take place this year. Don't know that it's going to take place at Rosh Hashanah, September 20th, 21st, 22nd. I don't know. But we're supposed to be watching. We're supposed to be waiting. And we're supposed to be looking up because, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on in the world today. You look at the news and the wars and rumors of wars and natural disasters and all of that. But we can look up because if we know Christ is our Savior, we know one day, one way or another, we're going to be with Him. Well, we've got another half an hour to go. I hope you'll stick with us and hope you'll join in the conversation. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in the light of God's Word, we'll be giving out those numbers. And stay tuned for another half hour.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you.
But now, let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. Our toll-free telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Love to get you on the air here this evening. And also a reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com for our website. Or find us on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Facebook. Just log on to Facebook, Live with Pastor Al. And, of course, you can listen online to us. And let's see, I'm trying to remember the, I should remember these websites. But basically where you're listening, if you're listening in Florida on AM 570 or Faith Talk 579 and 910 WTBN, you can log on to their website at letstalkfaith.com. That's letstalkfaith.com, and you can click the Listen Live button there. And sometimes it's kind of hard to hear if the weather's bad or something like that. And likewise, if you're listening on either AM 1220 out of Cleveland, Independence, Ohio, or AM 1440 out of Warren, Ohio, you can find us online as well at whkwradio.com, and you can click on the Listen Live button there too. I believe I have that information on the website as well, and you can just go there and Live with Pastor Al, and you can click on a link there, and that'll take you to a live one. And just a reminder, we've got previous programs on there as well, and I've had a busy week or so, and I'm a little behind in getting some of the latest ones on there, but they go back a ways, over a year, on our Sunday night programs as well as our Friday afternoon programs. Some of you are in an area where you can hear them. Some of you are not, but we have a half-hour program every Friday afternoon from 1:30 until 2 o'clock. Those programs are available on there as well. And then there's an archive as well where some older programs going back for a few years are available on there. So if it's a blessing to you, you know, you can check that out. And there's other information about me, links to our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, which sponsor the program. Also a link to East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio, which is another sponsor of the program, which reminds me, you can check them out if you're in the Cleveland area on the east side. You can find them in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school on Turney Road, at 216-341-9100. And we also mention that here because even if you're not in the area and you're interested in starting a pizza shop or adding pizza to an existing menu that you have in a restaurant, an existing restaurant, you can get in touch with East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. It's not a franchise. It's his own recipe. And take it from me, it's great. I just had some this past week. In fact, before I came to the station tonight, my wife and I had some warmed up in the microwave. Pizza. See, that's what gets me going, I guess. but it's good, and I do recommend it. And Gus is a wonderful guy, loves the Lord. And you can call him, 216-341-9100, and he'd be glad to help you get started in your own pizza business. All right, let's get started in our business here, getting back to our program here tonight. And again, our toll-free telephone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. And again, just want to thank people who have been praying for us. And I don't know if I mentioned it last week or not, but and just a reminder, keep praying for us. We were set. This was set to be our last night in Florida on Faith Talk 570 910 WTBN. This was actually set to be our last night up until about, what was that, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, something like that, 3 weeks ago, maybe. We were kind of down at the 11th hour, and we needed a sum of money that I didn't have and our church didn't have. And we were praying that if the Lord wanted to keep us on the air in Florida, that he would provide the money. I talked to the one gentleman involved, I think it was on a Thursday afternoon, and I said, well, it's not looking good. It doesn't look like we're going to have anything. So how much you've got? And I think at the time we might have had, like, I don't even think we had $100, or maybe we did. Maybe we had $100. I don't know. Wasn't much. It wasn't much more than $100 if we did have $100. And I said, we just don't have the money. And I said, if I find out something new the next day, I'll let you know. And he said, well, I got to know. Because the station in Florida needs to know so they can plan ahead accordingly. Well, went to the station. That was on Thursday afternoon. Came up to the station on Friday morning for our Friday afternoon program. And after the program, I was headed home. I stopped at the post office there in Richfield, Ohio. And I put my key into post office box 452 and turned the key, opened the box, and amongst other things in there is a dear listener in Florida sent us a check for $3,000. And I said, well, Lord, I guess that's a hint. That's a hint. And I called up the gentleman that I need to talk to, and I said, well, I just got a check for $3,000. We can commit to another 6 months in Florida. And we praise the Lord. He said, I think I mentioned this on the air before. He said, it's enough, almost enough to make a Baptist shout. And I said, I almost did. Well, so like I said, it's kind of nice. This would have been our last night, but for the prayers of God's people. And plus we've had about $3,300 come in. And I think we need to, we're still about $1,600 to go, but I'm confident at $3,300 that we have enough to be on in Florida for another 6 months. So just keep praying for us. It's because of your prayers. Even if you haven't been able to give anything, if you've been praying, it's because of your prayers that other people gave, and it's because of your prayers and then their resulting gifts that, Lord willing, next week we're going to be on the air in Florida again for another 6 months through the end of October at least. So I just want to thank you for your prayer. Thank you for your gifts. And keep praying for us. And, if the rapture takes place, we were talking about the rapture in the last half hour. If that takes place before the end of October, then it'll be a moot point. But but if not, we plan on being here. And I do want to mention that, Lord willing, next week I'm going to have a guest on the program with me, Dr. Robert Strong. We'll be talking about some things with current events and things like that. He's from Elkton, Maryland, and he's been involved in Christian education, Christian college education, things like that, as well as evangelism and things of that nature. And so he'll be on the air with us, Lord willing. If everything works out well, he'll be here actually in person next week, a week from tonight. We will introduce him and talk about just some of the things that are happening in the world and in our country. And there's a lot happening. And the way things have been going, I'm sure this next week is going to we're going to see a lot of things going on here in this coming week. But we made it through President Trump's first 100 days, and has everything he's tried to do been successful? No, but I believe that he has accomplished a lot. And like I said in the last half hour, number one on my list has been the appointment of Justice Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. That right there is one of the main reasons I voted for the man, because I knew that he was going to put people on the Supreme Court. And one of the things that I'm a little disappointed in is that they seem to be rather slow dragging their feet in putting people on the federal bench. There's openings on federal courts across this country. The Ninth Circuit, that is one of the most liberal and the most overturned court by the Supreme Court, the Ninth Circuit, my understanding, has a number of openings. And if they can start getting some good people nominated to these courts and confirmed on these courts, it will make a difference. And certainly Secretary or the Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, he is starting to make a difference in his appointments to other positions at Health and Human Services, Department of Education, and the EPA, and all these different things. He's starting to make a difference, and it's incredible. Even though they have not built the wall yet, and I'm very disappointed that the Republicans, basically in their temporary funding measure to fund the government through the end of the fiscal year, I believe it is, which would be, what, September, they did not include any money at all in regards, I think it was about a $1 trillion bill. They could not find a way to put any money in there at all for funding a wall and interject something with there. Senator Ted Cruz had, I think, the best idea for funding the wall. And we have this narco-terrorist, Mexican narco-terrorist, El Chapo, in custody. And he's got, I think, $14 billion in assets that they're trying to lay hold of. And it's drug money. And I could say blood money as well. Hey, if they could seize his $14 million in assets, you could make a down payment on a nice wall with that, couldn't you? That'd be a great funding source. But what I was going to say is illegal immigration into this country is dropping dramatically. You know, about a month or so ago, they said that illegal border crossings, the ones that they know of, I guess, they have ways of calculating and estimating what's happening there. They said it was down 70% from this time last year. And now the latest figures, they say it's down 90%. I mean, that's not even, they haven't even got the wall started yet. And yet we're seeing this. We're also seeing a lot of illegal aliens who are self-deporting out of this country because they're afraid that they're going to be found and deported because, hey, they're lawbreakers. You know, I got this thing from an interfaith group in Summit County, and there I keep getting these things, people trying to rope me in this interfaith groups, and I've got an open letter, for instance, on our church website. You can find it if you can link to it from our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, why the Richfield Bible Baptist Church cannot be a part of the Richfield Interfaith Coalition. And the main reason, long and short of it, is they will not tolerate our belief. They're too intolerant. We're not allowed to believe the Bible in order to be a part of that group because we're not allowed to proselytize people from other religions, you know, like the Hindus and the Sikhs and the Jain and the Buddhist and the Sufis and things like that. You're not allowed to tell them that their beliefs aren't going to save them or get them to heaven or ingratiate them with God, or you're not allowed to tell them that nirvana is a false doctrine, you know, things like that. You're not allowed to say anything like that. See, they won't tolerate anybody who believes that when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me," they don't like that. That's not loving enough for them. And if you believe what Jesus said, they will not tolerate that belief. Like I said, it's too intolerant. We can't be a part of it. It's just too intolerant. And it's kind of interesting. You're not supposed to be judgmental, of course. That's usually the rallying cry with these groups, not being judgmental. But they say that people like me are people who do not have authentic faith because, according to them, authentic faith builds bridges, not walls. And so if you believe that your way is the only way, then that's not authentic because that's building a wall, not a bridge. See, you're supposed to pat everybody on the back and tell them what a good person they are and send them stumbling off into a Christless eternity with a smile on their face because you've told them they're okay. Many paths to God, many paths to enlightenment. But if you believe the Bible, where Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father but by me," you're not allowed to hold that belief. So they're too intolerant. We can't be a part of that. And got off on that a little bit there. But nevertheless, I still get their materials different times. And I had this thing sent where they were talking about the climate of fear that's gripped our immigrant communities during this current administration. And I'm thinking, immigrant communities? No. I know some people who are immigrants to this country, people who are nationalized American citizens. They're people who came here from another country, and they came here legally, and they took the time to become American citizens. They did the right thing. But there's also a lot of people who came here illegally. They broke the law. So they're not immigrants, they're illegals. They're illegal aliens because they broke the law. They're here illegally. People who are legal immigrants are not breaking the law, and they're in no danger of being deported. The Trump administration does not dislike immigrants. People such as myself and you who are listening, who believe in upholding the laws of this country, we don't dislike immigrants. In fact, our country was built by immigrants. I have relatives that came here as immigrants at one time or another, but they came here legally, and that's the big difference. We're not talking about legal immigrants. We're talking about people who broke the law. And this material went on to try and say that they're fine, upstanding citizens. They're our friends and neighbors, upstanding citizens and not lawbreakers. And I think, wait a minute. Well, if you ignore the fact that they came here illegally, if you ignore the fact that they flaunted our country's laws, if you ignore the fact that they've applied for benefits which belong to U.S. citizens, then I guess they've not broken any laws. It's just like the people trying to say that President Trump did not accomplish anything in his first 100 days. When you ignore all the things that he has done, why, what's he done? He's done nothing. When you ignore everything that he has done. And so when you ignore all the laws that they've broken, why, then they've broken no laws. Well, that's ridiculous. And no, there's no mention in any of this stuff that these people have broken laws. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with our country enforcing its laws. Every other country does. Why shouldn't we? But yet, people who come here legally, you know, they become a part of our society. And it's a great way to reach people with the gospel. It's a great way to enrich our country. So we need to pray for people. This is a sticky situation because, you know, admittedly, and I'm not in a position where I have to come up with legislation or anything to take care of this, but admittedly, there are some difficult cases, and I think we should pray for our elected officials. We should pray for President Trump. We should pray for our Congress, the House and the Senate. We should pray for government officials, the Attorney General Jeff Sessions, and different people in the various departments and such of our government. We should pray that God gives them wisdom to be able to sort out some of these difficulties. And one of the chief difficulties, and I don't have a good situation or solution for it, and that's why I encourage people to pray about it, but what do you do with people who came here as a child, their parents came here illegally, and that child grew up here in the United States, doesn't know anything but here? They don't remember where they came from, and it's not their fault that their parents broke the law. But here's the thing. It's not my fault. It's not your fault, and it's not the government's fault that they broke the law or that their parents broke the law. The one whose fault it is their parents. So what do we do with people who are in that situation? And I think that's where our elected officials need some divine guidance. To be able to come up with a situation that can help people like that, who through no fault of their own were brought here illegally and grew up here illegally because their parents never made an effort to help their children become American citizens. And now, again, through no fault of their own, they're here illegally. What do we do with them? Well, I think we need to pray for our government officials that they can come up with a suitable solution there. And certainly, we need to be truthful and honest in what we're talking about here. And we need to be honest. We're not talking about legal immigrants. We're talking about people who broke the law coming into this country illegally, and what do we do about them? And that puts things in a little more proper perspective. Now, I'm not trying to be hard or harsh or something like that, but we do have laws in this country, and we are supposed to be governed by the rule of law. And laws are something that are in place so that society can function. And when you do away with laws and you don't enforce them, you can have problems. So pray for our government officials. Pray for our president. I mean, it is good that we're not having these illegals coming in right now. And with less illegals coming in, that perhaps could open the door that more legal immigrants can come in. And when we have people coming in legally, they can be a real blessing and a real help to this country. They really enrich this country and the diversity that we have in this country, bring talent and different perspectives and all. But from a Christian point of view, here's something else that we can look at as more people come in. It gives us more people that we can reach with the gospel, because sometimes where they're at, they're in situations where it's hard to hear the gospel. It's hard to send missionaries over there, and there might not be that much of a gospel witness in the country that they're from. And so as they're coming here, and we have opportunity to minister to them, but at the same time, again, you know, it's only right and proper that we expect our government officials to do the job that they're basically hired to do, and that they took an oath to support the laws and the Constitution of the United States of America and to defend the Constitution of the United States of America. I took an oath like that when I went into the Air Force to support and defend the United States and the Constitution of the United States. And, you know, a lot of people take that oath. If you're in the military, a military veteran, you took that oath. You know that oath is still there. It's still binding on you. The oath was never taken away just because you left the military. And same thing for some of our other people who have worked in civil capacities as elected officials and as police and things like that. In some of those cases, those oaths are still on you. And I guess that's one of the reasons I was talking about this tonight. It is part of my job, my responsibility as a citizen of this country, part of my responsibility as a Bible-believing Christian to lift up the laws and the Constitution of this country and encourage people to abide by it. Now, obviously, when the laws and the Constitution of this country are in conflict with the Bible, what do you go with? You go with the Bible. We ought to obey God rather than men. And it's a hierarchy of things that we have obedience or allegiance to. You learn that when you're in the military. Chain of command. You follow the chain of command. If a sergeant in your command gives you an order and then a captain gives you an order, well, he outranks the captain. You go with the captain. If the colonel comes along and gives you an order and he's in your chain of command, he outranks the captain. You go with the colonel. The general comes along and he's in your chain of command. He gives you an order. You go with the general. He outranks the colonel. The commander-in-chief comes along, that's the president, and gives an order. Well, he's ultimately in your chain of command. He outranks the general. Well, if the Constitution says something, and that supersedes even the commander-in-chief because he serves under the Constitution, that outranks him. If the Bible says something that's contrary to the Constitution or the laws of this country, you go with the Bible because that outranks them. See, it's a simple order of hierarchy there. And when you understand that, it's really not hard to understand the statement, we ought to obey God rather than men. Well, it's been good to be on the air tonight. Hope it's been a blessing to you. We're running out of time here this evening, and I want to encourage you to join us next week with our special guest, Dr. Robert Strawn. And some of you may know him and out of Elkton, Maryland, and we'll get him on the air here with us. And I hope you have a great week this week. Join us again next time. Check us out online, and good night. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452 Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.